Welcome to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's four-game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 72. I am PJ. Gareth's not with us today because I am on location in Nashville, Tennessee. We are here at Tennessee Game Days, and I am with the tabletop duo. It's Adam from Tabletop Vibes.
What's up, guys?
And Jerry from Tabletop Worldwide.
How's it going?
So we're just going to hang out and talk about our experience this weekend. We still have one more today to go. We've got to finish up today before we head home. And just talk about everything, every games we've been playing, what we've seen. What were the highlights? And so I think I want to start with we talked a little bit about this morning over breakfast. It's like kind of our favorite game, right? I figured round robin real quick. Our favorite game of this weekend so far, with the caveat that you may play something really awesome today.
That's true.
That you can like message us and we'll post it on another podcast. Adam, why don't you start us off?
Got to play, well, actually with Jerry, we played like some mafia game that was like this card draft. Oh, and with you, PJ.
Yeah.
I haven't had a lot of sleep, so forgetting those things. We played this mafia card game where like you each take a family member of the mafia gangster family, and it's literally in the game like there's no real rules about what you can trade or barter or buy off people for not
organized chaos,
offing them. And I thought it was a lot of fun because it was complete chaos.
It was good. I dubbed myself the honest mobster.
Right.
Because, you know, what do you look for in a mobster besides honesty?
Yeah. And I was running laundering game.
You were
on point.
And I was managing a corporate conglomerate, just trying to make money. And like
PJ was managing a huge conglomerate. But he's not about money.
That's right.
He's only about family.
He told us early on he didn't care anything about money as he gained more and more and more money.
If the saying is the rich just keep getting richer, that was PJ.
Yeah. Yep.
But unfortunately, we did not get to finish. No, right?
We didn't. We didn't.
It's four rounds.
It's actually
right?
a decently long game.
It is.
Yeah.
For what it is. Also, we didn't know what we're doing.
Well, in fairness to the game, though, we did a lot of side brokering, and we kind of extended it on our own a little bit.
We
with,
did.
With what we were doing.
And
but
we
that's what makes the game, really, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to be for our listeners, the name of the game is La Costa Nostra. Cosa Nostra. I probably said that wrong, so I'm going to say it multiple times. You guys can check it out. Right, so the whole point is that you're supposed to be a gangster, and
Cosa Nostra.
So I'm playing the game. I know it's gangsters. I get it. So we also played with Dom,
right,
from Bromide Enthusiast.
Yeah,
and he explained the game to us. I heard everything he said. I understood that, but my gamer brain was, okay, I must play cards to make money. I will build it. I did not play as a gangster. In the beginning, I just was like,
discard a card.
Right. That's it.
See, I think I went down the opposite track because I was trying to role play so much that I wasn't really paying attention to my cards. I'm like, hey, come on. I need to use this guy over here. Come on.
Jerry is the most honest, dishonest mobster ever.
Look, I may be out to get you, but at least I'm going to let you know.
Absolutely.
It was good, though. It was fun.
I learned a valuable lesson. When you're playing a game with Jerry, don't call his bluff because he's not bluffing.
Or just give him the money for the shakedown.
Jerry will be able to play a bluffing game again now. You've released my secret.
Alex. That's it.
Jerry was shaking down every one of us for his kids' college funds. But he was honestly made it okay.
And all the while, Dom was just sitting there quietly.
He didn't need us for anything.
Played his own game and took the lead.
That was a lot of fun.
It was very cool.
What a cool guy, Dom. Yeah, it was really great to sit down and play a game with him.
Dude,
he just Yeah, he just moved to Nashville, so
he did.
It was great getting to see him at this event.
Yeah.
But we also learned that, you know, sometimes the quiet guy is playing the long game, and that's the one you really need to look out for.
Yes.
He took us all out at the end.
That's right. That's right.
He just went down on a spree of destruction.
Quietly through those
while
first couple rounds, and all of a sudden the hammer comes down.
The Dom smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't trust the Dom smile. So, okay, so that's Cosa Nostra. Jerry, what was your favorite game of the weekend so far?
So, you know, we talked about this, like you said, over breakfast, and I kind of have a hedged answer. So Saturday somehow unintentionally ended up being IV Games Day, right?
Yeah.
We played three different games from IV. We hadn't been done, you know, coming into the day intending to do that, but kind of done that. So
totally good.
I think I probably had the most fun playing Mythic Mischief.
It's a good one.
But yeah. I think I as an overall game, Fractured Sky
was
probably the best for me. And then of course, you know, getting to play Veiled Fate.
Yeah.
Nine people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
What a great way to cap off a really excellent day of gaming.
Now, while I cautioned our listeners that if you're playing a game with Jerry, don't call his bluff. I will say this. If you have an opportunity to play a game and be on teams with Jerry, do it.
We did
do
a great
time. How many times did you win?
Twice. Yes. I think every game where it was a team, I had Jerry, and we are undefeated.
Yep, that's right.
I don't know. And you carried, in Veiled Fate, you carried me.
I think you don't give me that stuff.
I don't know. I know you were having a heart attack at one point.
So for those that aren't familiar with the game, you don't actually know who your teammate is in this game.
Right.
Everybody is given a color. And so they're, you know, they're two people with the same color. And as part of the game, you know, in addition to achieving what the game wants you to achieve, you also try to figure out who your teammate is, you know, in the hopes that you can end up working together. Actually work out, right. You know, it helps.
Yeah.
So,
or you could be my demigod.
Yeah. Poor Adam.
Just fail hardcore. I got to try the new expansion.
New expansion, yes.
From Ivy Studios for Veiled Fate.
Right.
And one of them is called Aridin. And he doesn't have a piece or a token. He just uses god powers to mess up everything and mess with all the players.
You were pretty good at doing that,
though. I was. And he has to call. Has to call at the end of the game all five people and their exact colors. Yep. Well, so let me tell you how awesome I did. I got 0 for 8because I was the ninth player. So
you did almost have me, though.
I did. I actually had Jerry.
Of all the people, you
yellow,
almost had me.
And in the 35 seconds before the game ended, I crossed it off.
Yep.
And I put purple. And then I was wrong. So.
So this is we got to play at Ivy Studios.
Yeah.
We played Veiled Fate with the upcoming expansion released on Kickstarter.
The 12th
of March. Yeah. I know they've been posting a lot on their socials, so be on the lookout for that. I think we all agree that that was probably the best game experience.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was the best game we played so far, but it was definitely the best experience.
Okay. Yeah, for the people, nine people. I mean, it was long, but it was just a blast. Everybody just having a great time.
Yeah. Right. We were talking about how it was, you know, kind of amazing how it felt sometimes like a party game, but it was still crunchy.
Right.
So it's not like your typical party game. It's like you're playing a crunchy game in a party environment.
Right.
Right. Because it's a heavy game. It's it's very serious, but at the same time, like Ivy Studios mastered the blending of those two environments.
And the key word there for the whole entire time we played was smoked.
Smoked. Right. So, yeah, so there's an add you could take in the game. You could discard two fate cards from your hand to smite the infinitive form.
Right.
To smite another, a demigod. You don't know who the demigods are, right? And they're all color-coded. They have names. most of us did not learn the names. We're like, Blue.
Carl.
Yeah, exactly.
It was not Carl, but it's Crawl or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, there was someone at the table who like was paying attention
to
the names.
Yeah, every time there was like, people that were saying,
like, Blue, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, can you just name a color?
And right. Like, we had like a player aid on the back that showed the colors and names together. Because he'd say, we're moving, you know, whatever the guy's name was. And we'd be, who?
Yeah. And speaking of player aids are designed
to aid the player,
which is our next segue into PJ's awesome purchase.
Oh,
which was Excavate Earth.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah.
It was cool.
It's a great game. Yep. But the player aids
were
a failure.
They were not aiding anybody.
They did not aid anyone. I think they confused just the people. Like, yeah. I think people walked by and you could just tell. They just felt confused.
They looked at our faces and they were like, we got to move on.
Yeah.
Well, and the player aids, you know, the graphics were very small. They weren't easy to interpret. And then PJ noticed that when you flip the player aid over, the entire back was blank. So you could have like, used all of space. That. Yeah, you could have used all that room.
And
you
know, it's a black card. Like, yeah. It's dark with little tiny iconography. Yep. And random, really, really, really small color symbols.
So this is Excavation Earth.
But the game's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are playing as alien merchants and excavators, mercenary archaeologists, as it were. And we're arriving to a future Earth where humanity's gone. And they're excavating human artifacts to sell them on the market. Or the black market. Yes. We think that's human, but apparently that's galactic black market.
It spans multiverses.
And so you're going to dig sites on this beautiful board, the map of the globe. And you're digging up artifacts. And then you've got to, you know,
really cool artifacts like license plates.
Skulls with horns.
But my favorite, to be fair, is the costume for the Gorn lizard from the original Star Trek. Like that is deep nerddom.
Thank you, someone, for putting that.
That's right.
That was deep nerddom. Beautiful game, played well. Had the expansion, but we did not play it. The rules were fiddly.
A lot of weird wording.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So Jerry and I were talking this morning before recording, and we were ruminating. Here's a good word.
Let me write this one down.
We were ruminating about how kind of exhausting yesterday was. We were trying to figure out why was it? Because we go to cons all the time. Yeah. And we think that we expended a lot of energy trying to interpret the rules. And just a player aid that failed us.
I'm not going to lie.
Draining.
I don't think I've ever read so much in my life. So, and PJ got me to teach, which hyper-focused me, supposedly.
So I didn't know that I had that much influence on you that I could, like, make you sit down and teach my game that I just purchased. Yeah. That was an epic moment for me.
That's the other fun thing. So we actually were browsing Tennessee Game Days because everybody brings their games to sell.
Right.
And PJ saw this game. And beat me to the punch.
Oh, yeah.
And I helped him. Right. And then
you guys really didn't have to fist fight on the floor like that.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Battle Royale.
Yep.
And then we were like, we went even crazier and we're like, well, let's open this game that all of us don't know how to play and let's learn it right now.
Right.
And we did. We came, we saw, we kicked his butt.
Yeah, we played.
It was good.
Who won?
Did I win that? I won that. It was
153, 57.
Right. I had 156. And if you would have sold your artifact, you would have 151, but you didn't because something happened. That's the fundamental issue, too. Be wary if you're thinking about purchasing this game. The way that the actions are, you always discard a card to take an action. Yes. Very similar to Nemesis. You want to take an action, you've got to discard a card.
Which, in theory, it's very simple.
Yep. But you've got to keep an eye on your cards. Somehow, somewhere, as I think you played an extra card.
I think what happened is the travel card, discard an action card, discard a travel card. I think the difference and the same backs.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I lost the card.
So my caution, I think you would both agree, my caution to new game designers when designing a game, if you're going to have multiple decks of cards, have different back to indicate.
Or if this is the same back, switch the color up.
Right.
Or something.
Because the action cards and the travel cards, which were very important and very different, played different roles, had the same back. And so it was easy to just get confused.
Yeah, and we also were talking about how, you know, in the end, we spent so long trying to learn this game, and it ended up being a pretty straightforward, simple game.
Yeah. Yes.
But the rule book was like a monster, right? So another note maybe to take away is don't overcomplicate the rule book trying to, you know, outline every possible potential scenario that could happen.
Absolutely.
Just tell us how to play the game.
Well, we spent the hour of reading the rule book. Yeah. We didn't know what a region was until the last page. And it has to do with everything. And we're like, wait, we score in a region. And when you're in this region, you can dig in a region. And this region does a region. And we're like,
What's a region?
Yeah.
That should be the title of this podcast. What's a region?
What's a region? Episode 72. What's a region? So what else did we play that was pretty good?
What did we play after that, but before the...
The dinosaur game?
Oh, yeah.
Holotype,
right.
So, a solid player worker placement. But
I'll take this one really quick. I have seen this game a bunch of times. My buddy owns it.
Your buddy owns
it. We've set it up multiple times and never played it. But I'm going to say it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good game. But
it's a little long.
It's super repetitive.
Like,
there's nothing that really changes up anything.
It just goes on. I mean, there are long to be dinosaurs. Such a repetitive thing. Like, it's not like you have various rounds and, when you get to round four, changes up and this. It's the same game all the way through. So they could cut off about, at least, I was going to say a fourth, but half works.
Half.
And it would still be the same game and not feel nearly as cumbersome and repetitive.
But for those of you who are interested, so it's Holotype. And it is, it's about, we're all working in a museum in different departments. We're paleontologists. We start with two workers. We have a paleontologist and assistant. Once we publish in our journal three holotypes, we unlock our grad student.
Yep.
And that's the hierarchy of players similar to viticulture,
right,
where you can bump other workers as you place them out to do your actions. It really feels like it would be for those of us, and then we know there are a lot of you out there who are school teachers who love to use board games. Mm-hmm. I think this is an excellent.
Yeah,
it's a great game to teach. Following rules, how worker placement, how one action affects another. That's really it. Really seems to be more geared towards that.
Yeah, and then you kind of accidentally learn about dinosaurs, which is
right.
Cool. Because that's the way, I feel like you're going to reach more students in a classroom environment. Yeah. It's not by shoving the education in their face,
exactly,
but shoving the game in their face, and they go, I didn't know that a Triceratops did this, or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I think we did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because all of a sudden I'm like, this is a genotype Jurassic-aged dinosaur that's 21 meters long, whatever. And it was a carnivore. And I'm like, who knew?
Yep.
Right.
And that all that information is actually on the card.
Yes, so,
it is.
And not in a bad way. Actually, the card's put together very well.
The design. And very geared towards that education. Right. And I really like that.
So that was definitely a solid. And it was really good. It was a very good reset from after excavating Earth. We excavated Earth and then we found dinosaurs.
So we stayed excavating. Theme of Saturday.
We spent the entire day excavating.
So Friday was all IV Studios and Saturday was almost exclusively excavating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Until we became gangsters.
Yeah.
And then we're starting to put the people in the ground.
Right. So that was our transition from dinosaur to...
I want to talk about Fractured Sky for a minute.
It was
by Ivy Studios.
Yep.
This game was amazing. Beautiful, beautiful design. No, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you right now. Adam, so we played the copy in the base copy from the Play to Win library.
Right.
But Adam Adam has the deluxe copy in the back of his car, and all he talked about was how we could be playing.
He is itching to play that.
I ended up getting it and purchasing it right before I came to Tennessee game days, and I drove down with PJ.
Yep.
Or he did with I, whatever. But we drove together, and I was like, oh, I'm going to bring it because I really want to learn it. This is the time. And then they're going to start. They started. Fracture Scott, I want to jump in. I'm like, but or we could deluxify this. So that the whole game, they're like passing that Starfell. I'm like, you know, we could have a metal Starfell.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
And I lost by turn order.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because I preferred PJ on one move.
So the tiebreaker in the game for almost every situation, not just the in score, is the turn order. So whoever comes first in the turn order wins the tiebreaker.
Read that first next time.
Yes. So who would have thought the final, you know, win-lose scenario would come down to the turn order in the game?
Yeah. Right. I think the lesson that Adam learned is do not be compassionate. Apparently, I don't work because when you're compassionate, you lose.
100%. But I wanted you to have that Starfell.
Yeah, I just wanted one point. I wasn't going to win, but I just wanted to score this one thing I was working on.
And my exact words were, you can have it, but this is probably going to cost me the game.
And it cost you the game.
Which I had done every single round, except for that round. TJ did it one turn faster.
Yep.
And that's how I lost it. Yep. So, yeah, essentially in Fractured Sky, there's an octopus, right? That's what it is in the front of the box.
Yes.
And he wants his Starfell back? I don't, something like that. I don't know. But it's really cool. The game is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it's a good time. You're putting out your starships to conquer like little areas and gain resources. Yep. And you're bidding, bluffing game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Building markets. And
PJ built markets, man.
PJ was the market builder.
I think that's where I got my influence for Cosa Nostra. When playing Fractured Sky, I was like, oh, I need to build markets for resources.
We're all building starships and getting Starfell, and PJ's like, I'll take 400 resources, please.
Yes, I have all the wood and stone to build towers, but
it was a blast.
I have no points, but I have cornered the market.
I think at one point I was like, you do know this is about not who has the most resources, but who has the most Starfell, and you're like, I'll get there.
Yeah, I just didn't get there fast enough.
It's kind of like you didn't care about money in the case. You didn't care about Starfall.
It's about family. It's about resources.
That's right.
And influence. We've just had a blast. This has been a blast.
It really is.
Let's talk about the gamers and the players and people we've met.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So Nashville's like this, not Mecca, but it's got a blossoming gaming community.
Oh boy, I mean, there's a lot of people that come to Tennessee Game Days for what it is.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people.
Yeah. Say about 1,000. We were talking about 1,000, under 1,000 people.
I'd probably say under, but
under 1,000.
But that's not really accounting for coming and going.
That's
but,
true. Yeah. That's true.
I'd say just under.
But then there's the locals, right?
I think the locals are actually a lot of it is locals. I feel like.
Yeah.
So
a huge gaming community.
So who do we meet? We met TJ from TJ Plays.
The Masked Meeple.
Yep, the Masked Meeple.
Yep, Random Meeple.
Random Meeple.
Mexi Meeple
came in from San Diego.
May.
To see him.
Ameritrash
Talk.
Yep.
I finally got to meet her.
Yeah.
I've been down here, I think, 3 times now, and so I finally got to meet Josh and May.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
And their son was in Player 3. Was awesome.
That's and we got to meet Dom, who is now a local.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right? Yep. Dom just recently moved here.
What a cool guy.
Steven, Nashville board game guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Salem. I mean, Steven. I got his name wrong. Oops.
Jared Jeff.
There's Jared. I have to tell this story.
No, you have to. Hilarious. You have to tell it, and I want to hear it.
So we're playing this big, you know, 9-person game of Veiled Fate, right?
Yep.
And he keeps, you know, I'm right across the table from this. Is Nashville board game guy for that's, you know, his handle, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And he keeps, you know, looking across the table and saying, you know, hey, Jeff. Oh, good move, Jeff. Oh, how you doing, Jeff? You know, but my name is Jerry. So
and so
I
got a big table.
Right. No. Right. So I, you know, kind of corrected him the first time, but I think he had turned away from me. So he didn't hear me. So I thought, well, I'll try to be slick because I don't want to be like a jerk. Like, hey, man, get my name right. So I pulled my Tennessee Game Days badge out, which had my name in big, bold letters. And I just kind of subtly put it on the table in front of me thinking, okay, well, you know, maybe he'll not. Nope, still got called Jeff the rest of the night. And then he tells
you, we get the card. Yeah. That Jeff guy is so nice. I'm like, I don't think it's Jeff. And he goes, no, it is. And I'm like, no, it's Jerry. And he's like, it's Jeff. And I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, it's Jerry. So I text PJ at 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, yo, worldwide, is it Jeff or Jerry? And he sends in the morning, it's Jerry. I'm like, come on, dude.
So I think we can avoid all this confusion if you would just embrace the name Worldwide. Just let us call you Worldwide. And
but then I'd end up getting called, you know, Mars Wide or something. So, you know, it's
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yes. I got to say, it's nice to be with Vibes and Worldwide. Right?
This has
been a great experience. And hanging out with the two of you has been fantastic. I want to talk really quickly. Unfortunately, this was a two-player game that Jerry and I get to play. It was Sail. That was like, so it was our first night.
That's right.
You were staying with Steven. Mm. And so Jerry and I were here, and we went and grabbed some dinner, and we came back, and we're like hanging out in the lobby of the hotel. It's like, you brought Sail.
I did.
Really good game.
Yeah.
Again, though, we learned two valuable lessons. Right?
We're learning a lot of valuable lessons this weekend.
Rule books.
Yeah.
Rule books.
Okay, so this was the exact opposite of the problem with Excavation Earth, right? So the rule book for Sail, it doesn't quite give you enough for you to, you know, immediately grok what's going on in the game.
Right.
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 So the rule book is like maybe two pages, three pages of a smaller size, you know, maybe 4x4 squared.
Yep.
And we poured over that rule book like it was a 50-page rule because we still couldn't figure out exactly what was going on.
But the player aid was awesome.
It was good.
Because it
aided the player.
Yes. Yes.
I love it.
It's like so good. So I think the problem was movement, right? Because like it's a trick-taking game. When you win a trick, you move the ship towards you. Well, first of all, we had the board lined up wrong. We're like,
You're supposed to put the board. You're supposed to put the board long ways between the two players, and we had it kind of
at long ways on our side,
right, going along the side of. So I was like, why would I ever want to win the trick? Because the ship's going to move backwards,
right? But now it made sense.
Yes, you know, it helps when you actually. Yeah. You know, set up things correctly. That often helps a game. I found.
I own that game.
Do you?
And I deluxified it. And I have never played it.
Deluxified.
Doesn't it have like a Kraken in it?
It does have a Kraken.
Yep,
there is a Kraken.
Yeah, so I upgraded it to like wooden pieces or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And got all the. I never played it though because I looked at the room and started trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So you see what we mean?
Yeah,
it's not exactly.
And I'm like trying to see where the rest of the rules are.
The art of writing a rule book. I can't do it.
No, I couldn't.
I don't think it could be.
It's easy for me to criticize, but I don't know that I could do any better of a job. But
yeah.
And it's somehow got to be a happy medium
between
too much and too little.
Absolutely. And everyone knows it. And you can't say it enough. It's like there is a fine art to it. And it's, I think about Lord Chesterton who once said, I'm sorry I wrote you a 40-page letter. I didn't have time to write you a 1-page letter because writing concisely is extremely difficult. And we as gamers recognize that as long as the designers are willing to forgive us for breaking the rules.
Right.
So when we were playing Sail, you're not supposed to talk during the game when you're playing your tricks. And we did. We talked through it turn by turn.
Well, and in fairness, we were still, you know, trying to learn exactly how it works. So we thought, well, let's bend this rule a little bit just until we get comfortable with the game.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, I want to throw this in here because I feel like we've done a lot of criticizing of rule books and games.
We
had a great weekend.
Yes.
And
all
of these games we played, there wasn't really a dud
among
you.
And it's taught us a lot of life lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working together.
That's
compassion.
Right.
That's right.
The Raging Cajun Gamer.
Oh, God. Oh.
Let's touch on that.
So man, I do not want to talk about this story.
We won't, but all I have to say is PJ.
You can tell it. You can tell. It's better when you tell the story.
Okay, so PJ is the loving, sultry voice gamer host that you hear, compassionate to all ends.
That's right.
And then he drop Jerry, aka Jeff. Jeff Jerry forgot his badge at the hotel.
That's right.
For Tennessee game days. So PJ's like, nah, go back. They won't care.
Yeah.
So Jerry will never
ask for your ID.
Yeah, Jerry goes all the way back.
Yep.
And then he needs it. So he texts PJ, and PJ just feels awful. And he's standing next to me. And he's, I just feel so bad. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I'm pretty sure he thought I said it's gonna be okay. And I said, you should be. And then we got the Asian Cajun Gamer.
I'm really, really embarrassed by my behavior.
I loved every moment of it.
Yes.
I completely out of character. Punch you.
He took a swing, people. And I have never been so proud. And I was like, this is the PJ I was waiting for the 5.5 hour drive that we took together.
Oh, God.
And now his dual personality on air is the Raging Cajun.
That's right.
Gamer.
Right.
PJ.
So that's the alter egos, Jeff. Jeff, who we had a lot of fun picking on all weekend.
I did not get one.
That guy. And then, of course, the Raging Cajun Gamer. Yeah.
I stayed constant, guys.
You stayed constant. You did. So,
well, there's nothing to bring out with you. You just always put it out there anyway.
I'm always pretty full force.
That's right. You are full force.
I do help
spread the vibe.
Stir the pot.
That's right.
I got Jerry going a little bit. I was like, oh, I did hit a button. I'm like, if you want to.
Okay, that's embarrassing for me.
But I did get to give it back because he offed my worker in the game. Hatefully took out one of my guys when PJ was making $21,000.
Oh, that's right.
It has been a blast, guys.
So we're back to Cosa Nostra. Okay.
Yeah, well, it all kind of comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. So real quick, tell us about – so Friday night, you were at Steve's house.
Yeah, we
– you played Marvel Zombies.
For my first time playing Marvel Zombies.
Like all decked out.
Yeah, so Steven, Nashville board game guy, he does not go small. He gets all the miniatures are painted. There's scenery. We had lanterns in our pit, like light posts.
Yes.
And a fountain and trees and shrubs. And then he even goes further in the game, like you can break down a door if you're going into another room. But the doors literally split apart and they show that they're broken.
Oh, wow.
That's
and wow. I was like, I'm never going to buy this game.
I'll
never get the same experience. So I got to play as Wolverine, of course.
Of course.
Of course, you know. Docile Wolverine.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing against the Sentinels, and we played on hard mode. And there was Wolverine. We played as all X-Men versus Sentinels.
Sure.
And it's awesome. It's a good time. It's a lot of, hey, I think I'm going to take this move. Maybe if you do this, and then I do this. There's a lot of like programming set up to like take it out. But the game is basically, it's simple. It's just the strategy behind trying to not die scenario from getting overwhelmed. But it was a good time. It was really cool.
So it sounds like it's cooperative.
Yeah.
Because I've not played, the pictures were beautiful.
It's either if one person in the team of your party dies, everyone's done.
Oh, okay.
And obviously people homebrew this to like whatever they want to do. But the standard rule is one person part of the party dies, the game's done. And the scenario is lost.
Oh.
Can you mix teams? Like, can you have an Avenger and X-Men team up?
You can have Doctor Doom, Spider-Man, and Xavier
working together.
Team versus, like, I was Wolverine, and Old Man Logan Wolverine came out as a zombie.
Oh.
So I was like,
well, that must have been fun for you.
Yeah, I was like, hey, bub, let's do this.
And he was like, bub.
Right? But we won. We won it. The big baddie that we had to kill three Sentinels and Nimrod. This is another like bad guy that came out at the end, and that dude was just kicking all of our butts for a long time. And at the end, there's just tons and tons of zombies. Him standing there and Wolverine just hacking off.
Yes,
it's a good time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So I guess closing out, final remarks, Jerry. Any?
Oh wow, on the spot.
Any fun?
Yeah, I think I might actually start making Tennessee Game Days an annual trek. It's a great convention.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a ton of people here. The Nashville area has so many great gamers and content creators, and it's only about a 4-hour drive away from where I'm in Atlanta. had a great time with you guys, hanging out, playing a lot of great games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Just a great experience overall.
Great. So got a play to, there's a play to win area.
Yeah.
Like a lot of local game conventions. There's a game library.
Yep.
It's a substantial game library as well. There were some good options in there. Mm-hmm. And just really good people. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. But
yeah. Everybody was like, you can literally walk up to any table. Hey, you want to jump in? Hey, you want to know about the game? You're like, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you were going to teach some complete strangers to play Nemesis, right?
Oh, yeah, we lost you. And then we see PJ, and we're like, he's playing Nemesis? We're like, and then all of a sudden, PJ looks up, and he's like, I got to go. Have a great game, guys. And he's out.
Yeah, that's it. So that was a really good story. I totally forgot about that.
Awesome. Yeah.
Josh is like waving me from across the room. And this is Ameritrash Talk's husband. I run over like, they need a teacher for Nemesis. Anyone listening to this show knows that like Nemesis – is Gareth and I's number two behind Obsession.
Yeah.
So I fit Obsession into episode 72. Gareth, you're welcome. I think, would you guys agree that if Gareth can't make it for like a Gen or Origins, we need to get him here?
Yeah, that would be right? Awesome.
Oh, man, yeah. It's fun.
So, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely would be a good time.
Absolutely.
And yeah, this has been a blast getting to see you, especially you two, because I've come now, I think it's my third year, but I come out to see Nashville a lot. Stephen, a.k.a. Nashville. That's what I call it. The state is fine, too.
I've got to come up with a name for Stephen that's almost Stephen, but not like Sam or something. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We're going to work on that.
I think it's been a good time. It's always a good time. So
Gareth, sorry you weren't here, but when you come to the States, if we don't get you to Gen Con, we'll get you here to Tennessee Game Days. And with that, I just want to say thank you guys for joining me today and sharing our experience this weekend. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Right. Bye, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.